Let's play some cards.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.
From Harrah's Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, starring professional poker player Dennis Phillips and professional broadcaster Paul Harrah.
You're good, kid. But as long as I'm around, you're second best. You might as well learn to live with it.
You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them.
Now, from the World Series of Poker Room at Harrah's St. Louis, here are Dennis and Paul on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
This is a special edition of The Final Table today. Hi, I'm Paul Harrah's. It is Sunday, the 29th of April, a little bit after noon here in the Midwest, and we just heard the news that Amarillo Slim passed away about 12 hours ago. Slim had been in hospice in Texas for a couple of weeks, and we'd known that he was close to death, but we wanted to hold off until he had actually passed before we brought you today's show. This is a special edition because it is an extended interview that Dennis and I did, along with our friend Joe McGowan, with Amarillo Slim. It took place in 2009 at the Rio during the World Series of Poker. I had run into Slim's manager, Michael Hershenson, and asked him if we could possibly have just a few minutes of Slim's time. He came up to the suite where we were recording The Final Table, and we were told he could only spare about 10 minutes because he had to run off and do something. 45 minutes later, we had been entertained by some great Slim stories about his days on the road with Doyle Brunson and Sailor Roberts. He talks about his years as a hustler with Bobby Riggs. He tells the Coke bottle ping pong story. He talks about his foot race against a racehorse. He talks about blindfold bowling and so much more. There's not a lot of poker in here, but there sure are a lot of stories from a guy who really put poker on the map when he won the World Series of Poker in 1972. He was invited onto the Johnny Carson Show. He did To Tell the Truth. He appeared on lots and lots of media outlets and really became the most famous poker player in the world. At a time when there was no internet, when there was no cable TV, Amarillo Slim was the guy. He told his stories in a book called Amarillo Slim in a World Full of Fat People, a great autobiography in which he shared some of the stories you'll hear today, and many, many more. At the beginning, you'll hear us referencing something that Slim actually was supposed to go do right after he finished with us, and because he hung out with us for so long, ended up being a little bit late for, and that was a prop bet that he made with Doyle, having to do with scooters. When Doyle gets around, he uses one of those scooters, and he'd been ribbing Amarillo Slim, saying that he should use one too. Well, that, of course, turned into a prop bet between the two of them, where they were going to race their scooters around the atrium outside the entrance to the World Series of Poker, outside the pavilion and the Amazon room at the Rio. You'll hear him talk about that, and the race did actually take place about an hour later, and you'll hear towards the end Slim talking about how he's got something worked out that makes him a favorite. What made him a favorite was he made sure that the first part of the race went down a hallway that was a slight incline headed downward. Of course, when they came back up, they had to go back up that same incline, and that's where Doyle's weight became, oh, let's just call it an obstacle to his winning against Amarillo Slim, a man who never weighed more than 175 pounds. So now we take you back to the Rio Hotel in the summer of 2009 at the World Series of Poker with Thomas Amarillo Slim Preston.
You played in the Champions Invitational. There were fewer than two dozen of you who played in this, and it was you and your other bracelet holders from years gone by as well as recent ones. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, it was good because I recognized about 10 people in there that I had sent a size 15 hat to right after they won the tournament. You damn near had to get an appointment to talk to some of them. Boy, they got important after they won that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And most of them couldn't track an elephant in 4 foot of snow, but they was they were all, well, you see them posed down there. When that camera comes on, there's about four of them has an orgasm, and they jump up and start scratching their nose. But I kind of enjoyed it. It was just it's kind of like a reunion for me. You know, a lot of those guys I have done something for us sometime or other in their
life. Well, let me tell you, that was an awesome lineup to see. And they started out with the recent ones and then worked their way back to the important ones on there. And it was flat out amazing. I was so impressed to see you guys walking up there. It really
well,
was.
See, and I told Dale what he smelled cooking wasn't on the fire. He was ribbing me about walking down there and back every time, which gets to be a long ways from that son of a bitch that's 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, part of it's downhill. So he said, why don't you rent you one of these scooters? That's how this come about, just as natural as anything in the world.
Yeah.
And I says, well, hell, why would I want a scooter? I could walk all the way down there and carry you piggyback, which is a lie. Don't worry. I couldn't, but anyway.
Slim, let's be honest. Is there anybody who can carry Doyle piggyback?
No, hell, he's like a sack of sand. But anyway, I said, well, hell, if I did, I'd get one and out and run that cart. And that's the way everything has happened to all of us, all of our lives.
You two have known each other for a long, long time, and you're still making prop bets against each other.
Well, yeah, because it's nothing but money. It didn't cost either one of us anything. We work for it, so it doesn't feel like it's real. Let me tell you an experience I had with me and Sailor and Doyle. I hunt a lot. I don't never have hung out in these casinos. When I go play, I'll play 4 or 5 days, and then I go somewhere fishing or to some big sporting event. I live. I don't just exist. Poker's not my god. So I was going to California to kill a jaguar down on, and they wanted to go hunting with me. Neither one of them had ever been hunting or anything. So I had to lie to my county sheriff in order for me to carry all them guns in down there. You had to get a letter from the sheriff in the county you reside. He lied and said what good upstanding citizens they were and everything. But, so we go to El Paso and we went to the horse races. So every one of us likes to book. And if I can't book, I find a winner every race, I bet. I'm like all suckers at a racetrack. So we bet among ourselves. There wasn't no need of getting involved with anyone else. And it got a little out of shape. We started to our suites, and the next day we was going to drive to, and I'll think of it in a minute, it's kind of like the Orlin Express. It's a chain, that narrow gauge train that goes over the Sierra Madres and comes out over on the Baja California side.
Okay.
So we'd made a reservation on that, and I had a guide that was going to get us 4 mules. We was going to, follow them dogs, and I was going to kill a jaguar. So I said, I'll tell you one thing we've got to do now, man. That's a little horse race they experienced today. Let's let it be the end of us betting among ourselves until the trip's over. Because I said, I'm pretty high-tempered anyway, which I'm not. But I said, me with a gun, I'd be dangerous if we got in an argument. Okay, we all agreed not to bet. About 60 miles down the road, a sailor says to me, Slim, I wonder what these mountains are. I said, this is the foothills of the Sierra Madres. Because I'd ridden a horse from Winthrop, Canada to Chamo, Mexico, 2,870 miles on a bet. So they agreed, and Doyle says, Slim, how long do you think it'd take you to shinny up that mountain? I said, I could get up there by sundown and back and everything. And Sailor said, you couldn't climb that mountain in 100 years. Doyle says, I can get up that thing in 2 hours. He just reached over and hit my brakes. I'm running about 90, and he hit my brakes, and we're all over the road. He said, stop the car and let that big fat son of a bitch out. We're going to bet him he can't climb. Now, we've got the pictures of this. And the signal was, if he got to the top to wave his coat or flag, we could designate it. And I even took some pictures of it. So they didn't bet that much. I think they bet $3,000. And Doyle shinned up that mountain just like a mountain goat. So Sailor eat his ass out, of course, and did a normal way, threw his money in the floor. And it just laid there, and I made him pick it up. That's not nice, you know. So he gave him back that. He recently got it and got him all his money. And I said, all right, now that's the end of us betting one another. I said, climbing the mountain for $3,000, that's fine, but that's all of it. So we check in in 3 adjoining suites, and I'm in the middle, and I was a little late getting ready. So they'd come down to my room, and in a minute I hear click and click, and I couldn't imagine what in the hell. I said, hey, y'all, let's go. I said, we've got this meeting with these guides. In about 20 minutes, we got to get out of here. go your ass. This, I'm 8,000 loser. They're pitching coins at my cap. My hunting cap's laying in the middle of the bed, and they're pitching coins at my cap, and Sailor's got Doyle 8,000 and something loser. I said, now give him the 8,500, and let's let this be the end of our betting among ourselves. Okay, we all took practically an oath not to bet among ourselves anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Next day we caught that train and put my station wagon on a boxcar and hired a guard to ride with it. So we're chugging along, just getting into the foothills up there, and beautiful country. And I said, God damn, that's good-looking grass. I said, man, I wish I had some of this on my ranch. They said, Slim, how many cows to an acre do you think that'd run? I said, oh, it's awful good. And Sailor said, you don't know a cow from a goat. What would you know about it? So I said, well, I'm just telling you that it's good country. It'd run probably 50 head to a section. I'll bet by God it won't, he said. I said, well, how would we prove it? Dawn said, there's four guys up there with cowboy hats on. Says they're probably cowboys. They'll know, and we agreed to take their word for it. So we bet, and we bet something with some whiskers on it. And you can burn up a wet mule with how many $100 bills we bet. So anyway, Dawn goes up there because he hadn't bet, and he's the guy to go ask them. No conspiracies like that among us. So the guy says, oh, God, he says, this is good country, he says, and it's ironic. He said, chances are that guy, you could run 50 head to the section on that. Well, he couldn't swallow boiled okra again. God damn, he turned pink as a sheet, and he throwed my money in the floor, too, and I made him pick it up. You know, that's indication there's something wrong with it. So now, here goes the train. Now we start climbing into the foothills. We go through Topolobampo. And I'm sitting on this side, and they're both opposite me. So I see the depot sign. Well, at every depot in America, the elevation is written on it. Well, I knocked it off like a dead limb. You know, I'm just sitting there. Wasn't thinking about it. I see this elevation sign. So we start up those inclines, and the sailor says, boy, my ears are stopping up. Just as natural a thing as you can imagine this come how natural. So Doss says, well, yeah, we're changing altitude. He says, you'll get hearing. I said, well, what do y'all know about altitude? By God, more than you do. So we guessed on the altitude of the goddamn mountain where that we had a train stop. So I take 200 pesos and go up there, and I give the engineer 200 pesos and the conductor 100 pesos, and they back this train up that's fully loaded. About 6 miles, we go down there. Now, Doyle and Sailor sitting on this side, so as we go back, they can see, and I can't, you understand? I'm mm-hmm. on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Now, Doyle's a sharp guy. He said, old Sailor, we've had it. You know, he saw that elevation sign, he knew I'd read it, you know? Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, it was fun. It was humorous. So we agreed, like I said, not to bet on anything, and that's some of the things that we bet on, and we've done in all of our lives, and it's been good, and it's been fun, and yet if it was a fire, why, any one of us would walk through it for the other one.
Yeah,
but we bet.
But getting something off your friends, there's something extra special about that, isn't
there? Well, I felt it was built a little character, which they're both lacking a little bit, so I thought it was good for them.
Yeah. Now, tell us about this race between you and Doyle.
Oh,
in
we've
the cart.
Matched it. We haven't matched it for as much money as we'll wind up betting. Chances are there's going to be some funds change hands. And
but, Slim, knowing you.
Oh, Doyle put a stipulation on it with the biggest bosses in here. They heard the stipulation. He gets to inspect my cart. And he's using real good judgment. As we sit right now. I imagine there's something being arranged for me. And it'll be both ways, of course. I'm going to not insist on searching his cart because he'll want to search mine. That'd be the wrong thing to do. But I think it'll be fun, and if it looks like he's going to pass me, I'm going to push him out of that cart. Well, I will, because what the hell, the ground will break his fall. He's not going to go forever, you know what I'm saying? If it breaks a bone, he'll heal, you know. So it should be fun.
Yeah.
Now, this is true friendship.
I'm hearing some stories about other people that want to wager, and I suspect I'll put them on.
I was going to say, you would never be involved in that sort of thing with other people, would you?
Oh, no, not if I can help it, but lots of times I can't help it. It's just my nature to try to help some of them folks. Of course, my help's toward the poor farm, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
How much could you charge just to watch? I mean, how many people would love to watch?
That whole room down there, 6,000 people in there, I guarantee they'd give $10 a piece to be able to line up down that aisle. So if y'all got any juice with the management, my suggestion is put some of those cones over on one side so those people won't get out on that cart path.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, then that eliminates the necessity of a security every 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to stop for one of them. I'll hit his fat ass. Well, I'm not. And I don't want to run over one of them unless I have to. So I'd suggest we you know what these cones are, like you put out on the highway. Well,
absolutely.
This casino's got it, or they got something, and leave a walkway.
Yeah.
And if somebody runs out and wants a picture, well, squash, there. Good luck to them. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But it'll be some fun.
Absolutely.
And it'll break up that poker room down there if they know
about
it. Because these are things I've done all my life, and I enjoy it.
Yeah. I loved reading your book. I told you before we started talking here today that your Coke bottle ping pong story is one of the all-time classics, and I always enjoyed you on the Carson show. And
well, the ping pong thing, let me tell you, that guy, Bobby Riggs, he spent a lot of time and effort to beat me out of something. $3, wouldn't have mattered. He just wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew he was a pro tennis player, and he won Wimbledon once, you know. And then I had the misfortune after I jacked him around on them frying pans of going with him to down there to beat Mary Billie Jean at Houston, and I bet as much money as a show dug could jump over on that match down there in Houston. And
who'd you take?
I took the winner.
Need you ask?
Well, but see, you wouldn't tell it if you took the loser. I guess. So that'd just be part of it. But anyway, and that come about by accident. I'm out at Channel 4 there. I got a buddy that's the one of the directors of TV there in Amarillo. And he and I are drinking a Coke. That's just as natural as anything in the world. And he and I had been playing some ping pong. So in a minute, I just pitched the ball up in there, and boom, I hit it with that Coke bottle. It's a miracle because there's about a 16th of an inch there is the only area you can hit.
Mm-hmm.
A little lower, it goes straight down. A little higher, it goes straight up. You understand?
Yep.
So Wendell said, do you know what you just did? I said, well, I hit that tennis ball back over there at the table.
Yeah.
He said, you couldn't do it again in 100 tries. So me and him met a cup of coffee. He's a little short. And I told him to get him a ladder. But anyway, I found out with a lot of practice and patience that I could hit a ping pong ball with a Coca-Cola bottle. So I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. I was back there playing the world champion checker player. And there are rumors I play checkers and a lot of other games.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, a guy that I barely knew, I knew who he was. And I was playing as checker champion. And he come over and he said, Slim, could you beat everybody in this room playing ping pong? So I don't wake anybody. I said, well, yeah, like I said. I said, I can carry you piggyback and beat everybody in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched where they went, and they went over there, and there's one of them Orientals. And I knocked it off like a dead limb. I knew what was happening. So I said, well, yeah, but I said, now, I knew they knew about my deal with Riggs. So they assumed incorrectly that frying pans was going to be our paddles. Now, this guy was a champion ping pong player from Taiwan. So now I said, looky here, I'm fixing to doctor me some folks. So he said, what's the deal about the paddles? I said, well, we'll both use the same paddle, but I get to choose the paddles. Now, they've got to assume, which they did, that it's with a frying pan because mm-hmm. that's what I beat rigs with.
Mm-hmm.
I did a documentary not long ago and played some with a frying pan and could still do it. Now, can you imagine an 80-year-old son of a bitch could hit a golf ball, I mean a ping pong ball with a skillet? But anyway, so I practiced for about 4 or 5 months playing with a Coke bottle. Got to where occasionally I could hit it, you understand? So when I go down there, I said, I can't play right now, man. It'll take me a couple of weeks to get finished business at home. All I did was go back and sharpen up on hitting that bottle. And I know they're practicing every day with a frying pan, but that's the wrong paddle. That's the wrong paddle. Now, when I handed him that Coca-Cola, you could have played Gin Rummy on his shirt tail. It's sticking right straight out. He took it on the heel and toe, and I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not a 20 years from now. We got to get this over. So he told these guys in pretty good English, said, I don't savvy about a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't nothing he could do. I got to choose a bottle. So I set 2 Coke bottles out there, and he took one, and I took the other one, and he said, we always ping for serve. I said, well, you're going to get it anyway. I said, why don't you just take the serve? He didn't. He hadn't hit it over the net yet. It's love 5 when I pick it up. You follow me?
Yep.
So I felt it was good for him because there was a lot of people flew in up there to bet on that match because
mm-hmm.
they knew this guy was a champion.
Yeah.
Well, hell, I did too. I knew something was wrong.
So. Yeah.
So anything that comes up on the natural generally works.
Mm-hmm.
Generally works.
Yeah. I love that story.
Well, that's the truth, though.
Yeah.
These are real people that I'm talking about in my book that I played.
Yeah.
You look at what I did to Evel Knievel, beating him playing golf with a bow and arrow. Boy, I've really done some dirty things to him. And I enjoyed every bit of it.
What are your plans for the rest of the 2009 World Series of Poker? Will you be in the main event again?
Well, if I'm alive, and if I'm not, I'll hire somebody to prop me up so they can deal me in. That's all I know.
Have you played every one?
Every one but one. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I had some health problems. I had a horse fall on me in the primitive area of northern Idaho out in that Bitterroot Wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart Udall, the best Secretary of the Interior, called me and wanted to know if I wanted to help him introduce some grizzlies into an area. There wasn't any grizzly bears. That's right down my line. I've got 4 pack horses up there. Boys, I keep the year around. So I went with him. The horse fell on, crushed me, broke everything on the left side of me. So
That year you couldn't make it.
Couldn't make it. And I did. I chartered a plane, the air ambulance, they called it. My doctors heard about it, and boy, they axed it in a hurry. They said I couldn't stand it. But
I had the pleasure of sitting down at a table with you at the Wynn a few years ago in a cash game.
Yeah.
And it was a great deal of fun because you were telling stories, and it was absolutely wonderful. But I'm curious about, for a guy who, I mean, we're talking about stories with you and Doyle and Saylor going back a long way, before a lot of today's poker players weren't even alive at the time. How is it for you playing against some of these young, especially online players or more aggressive players? How is it for you when you sit down with them at a table?
You won't believe me, but I feel that soft as butter. I'm telling you, because most of them stereotype themselves to what they'll do, and if that situation comes up 10 minutes later, they'll do the same thing. If it's a week later, they'll do the same thing. So I think if you're observant, but let me tell you, they play a lot better than every one of us old-timers think.
Mm.
Now, these boys have got all access to all this sophisticated equipment, and they know the prize. Well, we've got that indelible in our old pea brain, and I know it without going to a computer. But theirs is probably a lot more precise and accurate and been run through millions of hands. Yeah. And they use it to their advantage, and I respect that. I like it. I like for them to be clever because sooner or later you might. I saw about 3 champions down there yesterday that 2 of them I beat to his hometown when I was in his hometown before he got home from the tournament. one of them played about 2 hours and jumped the guy high, and he said, "What in the hell am I doing?" He said, "Slim, get your ass back down, bro." I'm serious. Because we've had some winners that, not distracting from anyone, but some of the winners were lesser players than some of the people that's still on the rail.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think you'll find that in any industry that's
always better. Well, that's what I'm saying, and I'm not rapping it because I'm all for them, because the more of them that learned to play, the better my business was. Of course, I've about quit now.
Well, I have so much fun at the poker table now, and we get the camaraderie, and we do the prop bets, and you're basically the originator of the prop bet. I just love hearing these stories. We bet on raindrops going down the window, which one's going to reach the bottom first sometimes.
I've done all of that. Yeah. I bet that's awesome. Throw a pumpkin over on top of a big 22-story hotel one time like that, and I'd got this guy in that cart to come down through there at the load of pumpkins, but there was a little bitty one in there, and we put a steel ball about that big around in the middle of it. And I zipped it up on top of there, and boy, everybody. I like that kind of stuff.
Heck yeah.
I like that kind of stuff. I did another documentary. I don't see them, but they took me over to the starting gates at Santa Anita to show them how I did it. You know, I bet this guy caused Bullet Bob Hayes to set a world record. Dave Sam down there at Hardin-Simmons University. I run foot races at the racetrack lots of times, and in front of a lot of people. I come with a gimmick where I'd always go to the stewards and I say, "Now the horse races are run out of a starting gate." "Yeah, what do you mean?" I say, "Well, then the foot race should be out of a starting gate, especially this time, because I figured out who this guy was and I knew I couldn't outrun him." But I'd put on a pair of welder's gloves, and I'd put my hand in there, and they close those electronic gates. Now, when they open them, it'd throw me just about from here to that man over wearing that purple shirt, and these guys have them untracked.
Uh-huh.
You understand? I'd just leaned against it. I got nowhere to go. As soon as that gate opens, I've got to fall out of there. Well, it takes a little time for them to react. Boy, time heals all wounds. That's dead stinking fish. And they got me to go over to Santa Anita, and of course, R.D. Hubbard's a friend of mine, the guy that owns the track, and they let us use the premises to film it. And it'll nearly pull you in, too. You watch them starting gates.
Oh, they snap.
They snap.
Absolutely, they do.
Well, I'd go easily from here to that wall in front of them.
So you had a 10-foot, 10-yard lead on everybody then?
Probably 7, for sure. And at that, couldn't nobody in the world give me 7 yards on 100.
Yeah.
Because I can run anyway.
Yeah.
And Dave Syme was the guy they'd brought up there to trap me with. And, of course, like I said, all trappers don't wear fur caps. They some of them might have on a big cowboy hat. And I beat him in the front of a big crowd of people at a major racetrack.
Did you ever race a horse?
Yeah. Yeah, several times. And I bet a lot of money one time I could hold on to a horse's tail for a quarter of a mile. When it come time to do it, I didn't have any hide nor hair on from right along there to here. My chin, hide's all gone. I'd fallen 70 times. You couldn't do it. And finally, I got to the point where instead of trying to run, I'd just let him pull me practically.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at that time the world champion, the world's record on the broad jump was about 28 foot. And they measured my strides before we did this, and I'm about 26 foot. I'd kind of hit and bounce. If I tried to run, I'd fall.
Right.
So I tied a strap around his, tied a knot in his tail, and put this, lay the band on this side of the knot where it would, and I'd wrap it around my wrist, and I'm tied on. I got to go. And nearly pulled you in two, but I outrun a horse. I outrun a racehorse 100 yards one time for a lot of money.
Now explain how you did that.
Well, I said 100 yards is 100 yards, isn't it? And they erred. And they said, "Well, yeah, any 100 yards." So I went 50 this way and 50 back this way.
Yeah,
I was nearly back before he turned around. You know, you can't turn a racehorse around. I've got some cutting horses you couldn't do that to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a racehorse, hell.
He's going in one direction.
Yep.
Why, he doesn't have enough sense to turn around. And so, in fact, that created a fury. There must have been 40 fights up in the grandstand. People that had been on it, and they saw that they got a little intimidated.
Did it ever get to the point where especially with your reputation, and I mentioned you were on the Carson show so many times, and you were world-renowned as a gambler who liked to set things up in your favor. Let's put it that
way. True. I plead guilty. What the hell? I said.
So did it ever get to the point where you proposed something or someone proposed something on your behalf, and when they found out it was you, they said, absolutely not?
Man, I've been many a mile, and they was always going to do something with me over the telephone. When I got there and they saw it was me, they had a change of heart. One of them, his kid had just fallen in a well. I never will forget his excuse. I said, well, go get that kid out of that well and leave this alone. I did it with that bowling thing in New Jersey. What's that town? I think it's the capital. What's the capital of New
Trenton.
Jersey? Trenton.
Trenton.
That doesn't sound right, that champion bowler I went and beat. And everybody laughed at it because it cost me $1,280 to win that money. The fifth ball he threw, he turned through it the wrong direction, threw a plate last wind, and I paid for that. On bowling, a certain score, blindfolded.
Okay.
Boy, that's a good sum of God. Now then, I'm in Boston doing something dirty to some guys up there. And one of them, I called them pool room detective, showed up, and he said, Slim, that guy that you beat on that bowling thing, said he's an heir to a big fortune. He just got a big number. I mean a big number. He said, it's a shame you've already beat him at that blindfolded bowling. You ought to think of something to fetch him. I said, I'll get him. So that night I called Groom, Texas, and told a buddy of mine he had a plane trip, round trip ticket to Los Angeles. Go down to the drive. What's the drive?
Rodeo Drive
to my tailor, Rothberg. And I said, have him make you a chauffeur's uniform and put my logo on the tin and get you a cap with a little hood in the front of it and everything. So he couldn't imagine what was happening, but he did what I told him to. So I flew him up there and rented a limo. It didn't take one. And he drives me up in front of the bowling alley. Well, all the tattletales went running in there and said, Amarillo Slim's out here in his limo, him and his chauffeur's coming in. Here he comes. There'll be some action around here. Well, my chauffeur's blind, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So here come Wade, and he said, God dang, it's good to see you, but you know, come find out, I can't find anybody can even bowl 70. He was betting on 112. He had no earthly win. He said, it's just impossible to do it. I said, don't tell me that. I just walked off. He said, what do you mean? I said, chances are my chauffeur could bowl 70 and just kept walking.
Oh, man.
Wait just a minute. What do you mean? He said, you think that man can bowl 70 blindfolded? I asked him if he could, and he said, well, I don't know, of course. But a guy that's blind can.
Oh, heck yes.
He's been in the darkness all of his life. And everybody else, they don't ever hit the right lane after about three balls. They just turn and throw it this way or this way or straight back behind them.
Uh-huh.
Unreal.
But this chauffeur, he could. Boy, I thought that was a good tonic for his ass.
You've done hundreds and hundreds of these bets, and I mean you've come up with some amazing ways to kind of twist it around a little bit. I love that. Has there ever been anybody that's caught you in one? You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. I used to be a guinea pig for every new cheat device in poker. I hate to use that word, but every time somebody come with something new they could do, they'd come down real. I was the whore or the guinea pig, whichever one you want to call it for all of it. And if I could detect it, why? Then they'd go play some people. And, they had the man for all the mice had ducked the traps I've ducked. You couldn't walk through here. We'd be that deep in goddamn mouth.
Not only have you ducked traps, you actually ducked life and death situations when you and Sailor and Doyle were on the road rounding all through Texas, right?
All the time. I hadn't been 3 weeks since I got hijacked again. It's in every paper in America. They broke my jaw in five places and broke my arm and stole a big diamond I wore for about 40 years. Left me for dead out in the field.
Yeah.
Left me for dead. But you was talking about that. When I got hurt up in Idaho, there was one guy left on that mountain, and I crawled and passed out sideways in the middle of a trail. In order to get off that mountain, he had to see me. They took me out of there and got a helicopter in there and took me to that St. Alphonse. That's that trauma center in Boise, Idaho. I'd been laying there 3 days. I'd come and go and everything. So the chief neurosurgeon come down there and he said, Mr. Slim, he says, got some good news for you. I said, what's that? He said, well, a lot of our staff knows some things about you, and we've done some research. I said, well, did you find out anything? He said, yes. We found out that the old myth about a cat has 9 lives, you must be part cat because you've already had 12. And he cited these instances 12 times when I should have already been dead. I said, what's the good news? He says, you'll see 13 because we're going to save you. I said, oh, boy. But I had already ducked it 12 times in my life. You know, when I went down that river, no return. The headlines once was in the papers was, this will cause a bunch of fools to start trying to duplicate that, go down that river, no return in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So far, no one's ever tried it. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever risk anything besides money. Jacques Cousteau made me that wetsuit that I wore.
Yeah.
Keep me alive for 15 minutes in that water.
And, another great story. If you've not read Amarillo Slim's autobiography, by the way, pick it up because he tells some of these fantastic stories. Now, I want to finish, and I hope you don't mind if we touch on this a little bit.
Okay.
But we had Nolan Dalla on the show a few weeks ago.
All right.
And it was shortly after he did the interview with you that appeared on PokerListings.com. I know he spent some time with you out at your ranch. Mm. And talked about the ugly incident of a few years ago. And yeah. I don't want to rehash all of that.
That doesn't bother me. I'm finally coming out and telling it.
Well,
I did all that. Everything I did on that was to protect my family.
But my question is, how are you with the family now?
They've done a 360. Everything's okay. That baby, I'll use the word baby instead of victim. There was no victim.
Mm-hmm.
There was none.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? She's been in my lap 700 times. Prior and after that, so it was turned over to CPS in Fort Worth, and they did an investigation, called me and told me everything's fine. We found out this is just a little girl talking.
So everything's okay, and the family's okay?
Yes.
And how is the poker community towards you these days? I know you got a rousing ovation when you were introduced at the Champions Invitational.
Yeah.
But in private now, I'm sure Doyle has stuck by your side, but how's the rest of the poker community treat you?
I don't know, because not one of them's got the guts of an earthworm. There's not one son of a bitch in one of them. I don't care how badass he is that's ever said anything to me.
Mm.
You'd think sooner or later during the course of playing, I'm open with this now.
Yeah.
If you noticed, I never said a word for, 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And I did what I did to keep some sharp-ass lawyer from quizzing my ex-wife and my grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's regrettable, but then some outfit put on a blog or whatever you call it and said a couple of words. It's never been, it's not on any indictment or any clause or anything. And I hope y'all own them because it'll save me a long trip because mm-hmm. I am going to rectify it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot call a man what they call me that you don't even know. I still can't say the word.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to show because, let me tell you, a portion of, I took 2 years, I was told I'd get a 1 year's probation if I'd plead guilty to it. It's like a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a felony.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major. It's a minor.
A misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor, yeah. And I said okay. So they told me I'd have a year's probation. I was content with it. When we got to the courthouse, they made it 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was one count, and they found out who it was and all this. Well, then there was four. So. That's all right. They're still sweating, and I'm still betting. So that's brutal. But you would have thought, and I would have too, that sooner or later, sometime, it would come up during a poker game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some guys say, well, Slim, are you dating babies? Listen, one of the conditions of my parole or probation was that I had to pay for the counseling for that. It's my granddaughter.
Yeah.
I said, okay, you know how many payments I paid? None.
None. She didn't need it.
She didn't need it.
Yeah.
She didn't ever go get one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that had happened, no plea to you. You know, everybody in the penitentiary didn't do it. You know, every one of them is innocent. But in my own mind, I know I am, you know.
Yeah.
And the incident occurred in the front seat of my pickup, and I've got four little girls in there. Now, that's crowded.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a hell of a saying to have had some indecent thing happen in there. Was at my ranch, and it started raining, and I said, well, we better get out of here before we get stuck. So four-wheel drive things down in the floorboard right here, and one of my little grandbabies, the one that was there, had her leg plumb over here on mine because there was five of us in the cab of a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how she got assaulted?
Not going to happen.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
So when I put it in four-wheel drive, that's on the floorboard right there, I went right across her lap, and I said, oh, I bet that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the extent of what is it, a sexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a district attorney that was trying to get a judgeship, and he grabbed hold of it. Some jack-off writer here in this town that works for the Review Journal, I wish that old man's still around and on the sun. I could have straightened that out in 3 minutes.
Well, I just want to say before Dennis goes on to the next thing, having played with you at the Wynn a couple of years ago, as I mentioned, and sitting there with you with poker players, I don't know about the poker community at large, but everybody at that table was so happy to be spending time with you.
I get that. I can't imagine. Now, what you said a while ago has got a lot of logic to it, that some sharp son of a bitch or some drunk didn't say something to me.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not, but Doyle has come out and said a couple of things concerning this.
I heard about it.
He is on your side 100%. If I can just do it right here. He says, I spent 10 years traveling and playing poker with Slim and never saw one thing that I thought was wrong. Poker owes Slim a lot, and he should be recognized for that. Now, I don't know how many years I've got left, but I'd bet double or nothing on Slim.
Yeah.
He'd bet every quarter he's got because he knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what I know.
Absolutely.
And I don't duck, and I know we had one guy that might have had some problems. If I'd have been him, I'd have come to this. There's somebody else involved that they said was something, but I was going to come. And let me tell you, it took a whole army to get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, you know, my compliments and hats off to you for protecting your family.
Well, that's what I
said. Going the route that you did.
Yes.
A better person. I mean, that's wonderful.
That's better than if it hadn't been nothing.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anything, you understand?
Right.
And my wife, they rehearsed her what to say in front of the grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had, I don't know whether she had the agreement or something. Oh, yeah, she had the agreement with the district attorney. Then after she started her testimony, at the end of it, she was going to tell my side of it. They let her do all of that, and they cut her off when she started to tell my side.
Mm.
Now, I know grand jury proceedings are confidential.
Yeah.
I knew what was going on every 3 minutes in there.
Hmm.
So I know what I'm talking about. So.
No, Slim, I wanted to ask a quick question, question. I'm a big tells person. A lot of these computer guys and internet guys, they just kind of look down and they'll study the betting patterns.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
And do you believe in tells? Do you have any, you know, tells that you really like?
Doyle used to have one.
Okay.
Every time he bluffed, he'd kind of whistle.
Oh, this is great. I love this. I love this. I love this.
And he asked me, what is it you, he says, you look like you're playing paper on me. I said, I know your hand. And he says, I know you do. He says, what is it? And I didn't tell him for several years. And I tell you, he'd make a big bet and they'd stall. Of course, all these kids now, they're stalling. They've been watching TV, so they wait.
Right.
You can lay 20 to 1. I lay, they throw their hand away. Because if they really got it, it don't take that long to find it. That's what I tell them.
That, right,
that makes sense.
That does,
it's
it
a
does.
Sense
like
that he's not there. He already knows it. He's looked at his hand 30 times. So a dog would bat, and then he'd go. He'd kind of whistle. So, boy, that was soft butter for me.
Now, it's great, too, because that tell of weakness also helps you when he's strong. So you kind of get
certainly there's a difference.
You get both ends. You know, that's great.
Yeah. I don't believe it's as strong as they want you to think, because all these guys now, if that camera wasn't there, they'd act a lot quicker.
Right.
And that's why I tell all of them, I said, if you wait just a little longer, that guy's liable to pass out, and then you can just reach over and look at his hand. You'll know what to do. That embarrasses them, so they act on their hand. You follow me?
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's the way it is.
Did you ever find somebody who you were playing against, Slim, who was unreadable, who you couldn't get a tell on?
Oh, yeah. Some of them, this Betty Carey was one of them. That drug lord gave her $100,000 to play me head up at the Hilton at my first tournament. So something happened where I knew her hand, and I made a mistake of doing an interview, and I told what it was. So they corrected it. The next time I played her, at the Horseshoe. I played her $100,000 head up at the Horseshoe, and she showed up with these kind of things.
Headset.
And they wouldn't even let her talk to me because she was telling me her hand.
Uh-huh.
So it made it a little harder, but I think she's the best woman player that's ever seen.
Love this whole thing. This has been awesome. Got one thing, because I might occasionally bet on things, too, on this.
Yeah, well, good.
You know, and if there happens to be this race with you and Doyle and everything on it, and I could get a couple of side bets concerning it, I'm assuming there's no choice. I end up having to bet on you on this. I assume you have something in the works that's...
Yes, sir. Yes. Well, man, believe it or not, I'm honest. I know y'all don't believe it. But if I tell you a goose can pull a plow, you go hook him up. He'll goddamn sure drag it off. You understand?
So I would bet on the goose there, too, I think.
You know what? But the key there is, it's not what Slim says. That may be the truth. It's what Slim doesn't say.
Yeah.
Well, like I told you, all trappers don't wear fur caps.
Yeah.
I guarantee I can go down there and I can get Eli or I can get some of these guys to put a bet up. I'm going to have some fun on this one.
Oh, do. And the only way in the world we could lose it would be for – now, if he starts to pass me, I'm going to try to push him out of that cart.
Well, yeah.
Because he's big enough to take a fall a little. And that's now, there's some carpets. I'll try to wait till we get to them carpeted areas. I don't wish him any harm, you know.
Well, good luck with the race, and good luck when
you
get to the main event.
Somebody call down there to the poker room and ask them to let me be a little bit late because I'm busy.
You'll be fine. We appreciate your time very much.
Absolutely.
And we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for visiting with us here. It is a pleasure.
You're welcome.
We all have tremendous amount of respect for you. We are all so happy to see you back in the forefront of the business that, frankly, you helped create.
Very much so.
And
I tried to. You know, you'd like to see the list of the shows I did, from Good Morning to America to Tell the Truth, I've Got a Secret, What's My Line, the morning show. I did every media outfit there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did say a bad word about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'd either say something good or I'd go around them.
Mm-hmm.
So no plea to you, because I'm a dirty bastard, but I do use a little integrity in some of the things that's important to me.
They did an interview with me, and I didn't have the proper answer to this. And they said if there had to be a symbol for poker or something or other on that, you know, like the NBA has the guy getting ready to dunk and everything, mm-hmm. what would you put for it? I now know the answer. I'd have two profiles. I'd have you on one side. I'd have Doyle on the other, you with your hat with a snake through it, mm-hmm. looking at each other. That'd be awesome, because everybody would instantly know that it's Texas Hold'em and it's poker.
It would be synonymous.
Exactly. That should have been my answer.
By the way, about that snake on my hat, if I could see that, I wouldn't wear it. Do you see this scar right here? Can y'all see it?
Oh, yeah.
Those two scars? Yeah. See, this one's about twice as big. That's where one of them fangs broke off when he bit me.
Wow.
But see, you got to realize he died and I didn't.
Right.
So if you're planning on biting me, you might all think.
He's not going around in a hat with Amarillo Slim on it. Thank you so much, Slim. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
That's the late Amarillo Slim, who died last night at a hospice near his home in Amarillo, Texas, at the age of 83. One of the great characters in the history of poker.
one of the great characters in the history of the world. We thank him for his time and all his contributions to our game. For Dennis Phillips, I'm Paul Harris. This has been a special edition of the Final Table Poker Radio Show. You can get all of our shows on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com, or subscribe and download them automatically via iTunes or Stitcher Radio, or catch them when we broadcast live from Harrah's St. Louis every Tuesday at 3 on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.